with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say whenever there's a full moon, he transforms into a DVD player. It's Mark Searby.
That makes me sound like I'm a transformer.
It does.
It does, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah.
He's not quite a full car. He's just a DVD.
Yeah. I'm like Soundwave's tape that turns into a bird.
Eh? Does that happen?
I got too nerdy there for you, didn't I?
Too far. I remember the little guy who was in the army
Soundwave,
base. Is that not him?
No. Soundwave was a Decepticon that changed into a cassette player. And then the cassette was actually changed into a bird. You're too young for all of this. You're too young.
Yeah, I forgot.
Too young.
I may have seen it. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to change into a werewolf. Well, maybe not. Actually, I haven't seen quite a lot of werewolf movies. Probably not.
Always looks a little uncomfortable.
That change.
I never seem to enjoy the process.
Yeah. Yeah, and there have been some really interesting change sequences through the years. I mean, obviously, American Werewolf in London, still one of the best. Jack Nicholson's change in wolf, that's pretty good as well.
The one in Harry Potter.
The one in Harry Potter.
Slightly less Jurassic.
I guess so, yes. But yeah, there is a very sliding scale, isn't there? That's very true.
It always reminds me of every time I get sunburned, really. It's all the same kind of reaction. Just well, not at midnight.
Stay out of the sun. Stay out of the full moon as well. You'll be fine.
I could do that by going to the cinema.
Oh,
that's a good link.
That's a very good link. People think we just throw this together. We really don't. Well, you do, but I don't.
Yeah. Obviously,
we were talking about werewolves because we've got a werewolf movie to review later on. But
podcast extra.
Yes, we should talk about first movie this week, which is, as you said, in cinemas, and it sort of follows on from last week when we did Downton Abbey: A New Era, which was period drama.
I was thinking, it is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. So now we've got in cinemas.
Kept your cravat on.
I have. Yes, absolutely. Well, slightly different. As I said to you last week, I would be downstairs. This week we've got another period drama called Mr. Malcolm's List. It's set in the 19th century in England. Selena Dalton tries to court a mysterious and wealthy suitor known as Mr. Malcolm.
Oh, okay. Yep, very Downton Abbey.
Bridgerton.
No? Oh, of course. Yeah, well, I've not really seen much of that, but I've heard of it.
Sanditon?
Yeah. Same.
Mr. Malcolmton?
Sanditon. Malcolmton. Oh, yes.
But joke aside, Bridgerton and Sanditon are actual period TV shows that are very popular. I haven't seen them, but they're very popular. Mr. Malcolmton isn't. That was a joke.
It could be.
Well, who knows? There could be a spin-off TV show from this movie. Who knows? The reason I bring up Bridgerton and Sanditon is because if you like those two movies, I think you're going to, you know, this is very much your cup of tea. It's all very British people going, quite. And, you know, the typical centric British thing that we
monocles
do.
And
yeah, pipes kind
and
of,
all
yes.
That. And walking, big tall hairstyles.
Big tall hairs or big hats and walking canes and everything else like that. There is something rather delightful about this movie. I think it has a nice sense of humour about it. It's very much set in its time. You know, it's not trying to be a film about older times with modern dialogue. The characters are all what you would expect from that era. I do like Frida Pinto's Selena, as I thought there was something quite attitude-y about her. I mean, not in a bad way, just in a way that it felt like it fitted perfectly with how her side of the story was being told. I mean, I very much enjoyed the bit where Selena and her friend Julia discover that the very sexy and very distinguished Mr. Malcolm has a list of requirements he wants from a woman who he will marry. So they set out to play a few games on him. I thought that was good. There was several laughs to be had there. I've got to say that. And the film really plays out how you would expect it to. It's very much Cinderella meets Bridgerton, which, you know, when it's done right, is no bad thing. Mr. Malcolm's List, I think, is done just about right all the way through. I think probably the best thing about this film, though, and we shouldn't have to mention this at all. It shouldn't need mentioning, but I guess it kind of does because we still have to talk about it, is that this movie features a colorblind cast. The majority of the cast are black. It's, you know, it's a movie that isn't interested in making a song and dance about it. Instead, it's a movie that is much more interested in who is the best actor for the part, regard, you know, no matter their skin color.
Yeah.
And
okay, yeah,
you know, there's going to be some people out there. I've seen reviews where people have said, well, it doesn't match up, you know, friendships between black people at that time and white people at that time just wouldn't have happened. And I get what they're trying to say, but this is a film that is, you know, it's portraying a more diverse cast in a setting that is typically not been diverse at all. And I think we need more.
It's just Hollywood films. That's the thing. So
think back to Downton Abbey. Think back to Downton Abbey and think of, you know, the colour of the skin of the people in that movie, in that TV series. That gives you the answer there. Whereas this one is very much like, who's the best person for it? Does it work with this?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, it does. And I think this is what we're talking about. And we've talked about this time and again about needing more diverse films, more diverse filmmaking, more diverse voices in movies. And I think if that means that we get colourblind casts and more movies like Mr. Malcolm's List, then count me in, because I had a really lovely time with this movie. And as I said, it shouldn't be about the colorblind cast. It should be about, is the movie good? Are these actors good enough for these roles? And as I said, I thought Frida Pinto was really good as Selena. I thought she was fantastic as it. And ultimately, I just came away going, good film, good film. Thank you very much. Yes, I enjoyed that.
Excellent. It's nice to see this sort of film, though, that, you know, you're not typecast by what you look like.
Yes.
Or who you are in real life. You're an actor, you're an actress. That's the point of doing what you do. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing. Are you up to the role? That's the question. Can you act in the role? Are you good enough to make it an interesting character and a good film? And the answer with Mr. Malcolm's List is yes, it's good. I like it, regardless of whatever people are going to say about the fact that, well, black and white people, people of colour, wouldn't mix with white people like this. That's not the point of this movie. The point of this movie is that they have made a colourblind period drama that we don't see a lot of. In fact, I'm trying to think of one that we've possibly reviewed in the past, and I can't off the top of my head. So that's the thing. I mean, the closest we could probably come to something like that is maybe The Harder They Come, which obviously was that Western, a black Western that we reviewed last year, and I thought was one of the best movies of the year. It got Idris Elba in it. And obviously this is kind of in the same thing, really. It's just saying, hey, you know that genre that was predominantly white people? Well, now it's not, and we're still making really good movies. And Mr. Malcolm is a really good movie. I like it. As I said, I chuckled a lot at this movie.
Excellent. So it's in cinemas at pretty much the same time as Downton Abbey's.
On DVD.
Was it New Age?
Yes.
Oh, that's on DVD.
Yeah, that's on DVD. That's you know, you can go
see
Mr.
necessarily competing.
No, they're not. I think that's the good thing, but there's no harm in them competing. I don't think they would probably be for the same. Oh, I don't know, actually. I was going to say but maybe not for the same audience, but I would say they possibly are.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I
think so. Certainly for. Yeah, I think so.
Which did you prefer?
Well,
if you're putting them up against each other, it's a tough ask.
It is. That's a tough ask. I'm not going to answer that, to be honest with you, because I think they're two very different movies. And as you know, my love affair with Downton Abbey stretches all the way back to the show, whereas obviously this is a first-time movie. But as I said, if they make a TV spin-off of Mr. Malcolm's List, I'll watch it.
You'll be downloading that straight away.
Watch it. It's not a problem at all.
So, Mr. Malcolm's List, did Mark make Mr. Mark's List?
It did. Yes, it did. Yes, I like that. That was good, yeah.
Excellent. What else you got, Fred?
So on DVD and Blu-ray, we've got a film called Men. M-E-N, Men. It's about a young woman who goes on a solo holiday to the English countryside following the death of her ex-husband. Now,
this is
the new movie from Alex Garland. And when you are dealing with a new film from Alex Garland, you know it's not going to be a straightforward sci-fi or horror. His previous movies, I'll give you a couple of movies that he's done previous. Ex Machina, starring Oscar Isaacs. Annihilation, which, amazing movie. I love that movie. He did the TV show Devs as well. I think they've been very trippy pieces of work. You know, I think Men takes the trippiness and moves it into the horror genre. I mean, there is certainly a line that runs through this film to the work of certainly David Cronenberg and his body horror, because Men, I think, is very much a body horror by the time it gets to the finale. And it's a finale that I think will both astound and perplex as to what is going on. I couldn't look away because it's so trippy and strange and weird. And I had that same reaction when I saw Annihilation for the first time. I still think Annihilation is Alex Garland's best work. So the finale, yes, you absolutely lives up to it, Alex Garland's work. The issue is the rest of the film, I think, isn't that interesting or thought-provoking as much as it thinks it is. You know, here's a story about a woman trying to break free of the memories / horrors of her old relationships. She's trying to start afresh. The issue is that wherever she goes, she sees the same person's head on different people's bodies. Now, there is something to be said about someone being unable to escape the demons in her mind and also physically that continue to cause her waking nightmares. The issue is that this film seems to just play with those emotions. It feels much like the title. It feels far too male orientated to be able to tell a story like this from a female's perspective, which is exactly what the film is suggesting it's doing. You know, it's the male gaze told through a female lens. But without real female input, I think it lacks genuine female emotion. So it becomes a film that is trying to speak for somebody who it doesn't know how to speak for. So that becomes a bit of a disconnect with it, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Sounds it.
Yeah. I mean, truth be told, for large parts of the film's runtime, I was quite bored. The interactions that the woman has with the many different males, I didn't think was that interesting or that weird. It tries to be both, but I think it comes off as quite uninteresting. And it tries to be an art house female drama with additional body horror elements at the end. The end, as I said, is worth seeing just so you can see one of the most bizarre endings to a film ever. But it does mean sitting through some of the most boring and misguided dialogue and scenes that a film has to offer. I think it's such an interesting concept, but the execution isn't very good at all.
Oh, it seems like, I mean, it's difficult to gauge what was really going on in the trailer.
Yeah.
But I felt a bit like it looked like one of those American person comes to England and then end up in this massive mansion. And you're like, that's not how English people really live.
Right? Exactly. Yes, exactly. I think that's the thing. But, you know, we should say, so in the lead two roles, so the woman is played by Jessie Buckley, who I adore. I think she is one of the best British actresses around. I will watch her read the phone book. You know, that's fine. And then all of the males that she keeps seeing, as I said, has got the same head on, and it's always Rory Kinnear, who I think is a good actor as well. The issue is not with the acting. As I said, the issue for me is the fact that it feels it's very much a male trying to speak as a female. And
basically,
it just
the issue with men.
Is men. Yeah. And I think that's the point that maybe Alex Garland is trying to make. The issue with men is men, but it's not come across that way in this film at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the most bizarre and weird ending ever. Where could we see it?
So it's on DVD and Blu-ray.
If you want to brave it.
Yeah, if you want to brave it. Yeah, it's on DVD and Blu-ray. Listen, I know film critics who love this movie, who rave it's one of the best movies of the year. I would happily tell them it's really not. But that ending will stay with me. The issue is you have to sit through the rest of the movie.
And so an hour and a half, wasted 10 minutes, good.
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. Yes, yes. You know, that's the issue, I guess. But Alex Garland, for me, you know, I'm going to watch all of his movies. I'm curious to see what he does next. And as I said, maybe I'm not the biggest fan in the world anymore. I didn't like Devs. I'm not a huge Ex Machina fan. I do not like Men at all, apart from the ending. But I'm going to watch something that he does because I'm always fascinated by what he does. And I still think Annihilation is the best movie he's ever done.
Excellent. Well, I suppose we've got two films here that are kind of like trying something different, going down a different road.
Do you know what? You bring up a good point there, that they are both trying something different. One of them works, one of them doesn't. But how many times have me and you said it's nice to see movies trying something different? It's not cookie clutter of the standard variety that's a blockbuster and has disappeared. You know, at least they're trying something different. And, you know, they have to be applauded for that. That's the thing. Whether it works or not, that's a different matter. But at least movies like these are being made and we can review them and people can make up their own mind and they are something different. So when somebody goes, I don't like blockbusters, they're all the same, you can say, well, have you seen this? I'm not a huge fan, or I'm a huge fan. It's something slightly different. And that's what we've got.
Pushing the boundaries. I like it. Excellent. Speaking of something different, what you've got for us on the podcast?
So the werewolf thing. Okay. So we have a film on DVD and Blu-ray called Wolf. It is not the Jack Nicholson movie, just to say that. It's a new movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easy mistake to make.
Yeah. So this is the synopsis, okay? Jacob believes he is a wolf. His family send him to a therapy center for people who believe they are animals too. There, Jacob meets Wildcat, a female who also believes she is a wolf.
Okay, sounds like summer camp. We've all been there.
You know, if you're about 4 or 5, course you pretend you're a wolf or something. That's fine. But we're talking about people who are in their 20s and 30s. You know, sometimes as somebody who reviews films, as a film critic, you sit in the cinema and you do wonder, what am I watching? What am I watching? And Wolf had me thinking that within 10 minutes of it starting. It is a strange movie. It's a bizarre movie. I mean, clearly, this is an art house movie disguising itself as some contemporary drama. So don't be fooled. This is an art house film all the way, regardless of the big names in it.
Yeah.
And there are some recognisable names in this. You know, George McKay is a big British actor. Lily Rose Depp, big actor. Paddy Considine, big actor. But that means nothing when you watch a brilliant actor like Paddy Considine suggest to a teenager who thinks she's a parrot that she can fly and should jump out of the second story window to prove it. Then, then you know you're in for a different film.
Yeah. Yes, different. Seems different.
Yeah, I mean, you listen, you've seen the trailer. What did you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's lots of interesting scenes. I mean, fair play to the choreographers. He looks like a wolf when he's moving around. It's all a bit bizarre. Yeah. It's almost like a dance movie from what I can see.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the whole concept seems a little, I mean, there seems to be like some sort of like love story going on. It looks like it might be quite cute.
Yes, there is. Yes. I mean, it's really difficult to describe that because it's so bizarre. I mean, there's a scene in there, I'm not sure if it's in the trailer, where Jacob first meets Wildcat and Jacob stalks down the hallways on all fours and then stalks around Wildcat as they smell each other. And then Wildcat basically says no, actual, you know, dialogue, and gets up on her human legs and walks off, leaving Jacob as a wolf, rejected and snorting away. And that's just one of the many scenes where it happens and you think, okay, that's going to lead into something, but it doesn't. You're just left with another piece of the film where you go, this is so bizarre. How did this even get made? I don't understand it. I mean, was there anything in the trailer that you really understood?
No, not really. No.
No.
I mean, it's one of those where they've gone deep into the art house thing, haven't they? And, but you sort of feel like you want to lift up the curtain a little bit and see some real life in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like a film, does it? It feels like it's some sort of actor's workshop, you know, like you're at the actor's studio or like you're at Lambda or something. You know, it's not an actual...
pretend you're a parrot.
Yeah, exactly, yes. You know, that's fine when you're at an acting studio and you have to do these exercises. But to make a feature film out of it? I didn't get... I mean, truth be told here, I genuinely thought I was on Candid Camera. Like somebody was going to come out of the side and go, surprise, it's not a real movie. We just got you here to see if you'll watch any old rubbish.
That is not a great write-up, is it?
That, I mean, that didn't happen. Nobody came out and told me this is not a real movie. It turns out this is a real movie.
Actually a real movie.
And I just can't get my head around the fact that this is nothing more than an actor's workshop. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Inspired by.
Yeah, that's it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. You know, at least with it, there's another movie that's kind of like this. It's called The Lobster, which is a bizarre movie anyway. It's got Colin Farrell in it. But at least with that, it got some sort of narrative with it. It was some sort of weird movie that I was kind of transfixed by. With this, I have no idea. I don't even know where you would start with this movie.
There's lots of different animals looking through the cast list here. Which animal would you be if you were in this film?
Well, what's the choices? I think you should just read out some of the animals that are in this movie that are played by humans.
So there's like wildcat, there's obviously the wolf, there's a lion man, a German shepherd, a parrot, a duck, which I really want to see. I mean, that's a hell of a casting. That's all I can see. Oh, a rock, a horse. I mean, yeah, lots of options.
The person who played the duck must have been Quackers to take that role on. sorry. I was thinking about that. But do you know what? But you reading that list out of it, that's a genuine list. And they're not dressed up as the animals. Well, some of them are, like the parrot. She dresses up as the parrot a little bit. But I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. I did not get it. I did not understand it. I just thought, this is not a film.
It's a good one to watch if you're a drama student and you fancy learning how to act like a wolf.
I guess so, but if it was me, I would rather watch a feature film that has that change in it. You know, we talk about Jack Nicholson in Wolf, which I still think is a great movie, even though it got panned when it got released. You know, you think about American Werewolf in London. American Werewolf in Paris is not that good, but there's so many other werewolf movies out there that you could watch and it would show you that change. Instead, what we have is people playing at animals. I think that's the word.
So you could say Wolf was a bit of a howler.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, not just a bit, a lot. There was a lot of howling going on when I was watching it.
Interested. Thanks for that.
Listen, you know, we say this quite a lot. We have an eclectic bunch this week.
we
have not got more eclectic than this, I don't think. You know,
we tried a few months.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. Does it work? Does it work? That's what we were trying to find out. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes. But maybe you just needed to watch it under a full moon. Then it'll be better.
You could well be right. Maybe under a full moon, it would be a different movie. I doubt it, but I don't know.
What you got next week for us, Mark?
Okay, next week. We're going to talk about normal movies next week, all right?
Thank God.
I know, no branching out. So next week, we're going to review a horror movie called Fall, which is about two women who enjoy climbing up very tall things and they get stuck at the top of a telephone mast that's about 400 feet high. I know. So if you're of a if you don't like heights, it's not the film for you. And then on DVD and Blu-ray, we're going to be talking about Lightyear, which is the Pixar movie, which is obviously based on the real character that was based on the toy in Toy Story was based on. So we'll talk about that. And then also, we will also talk about a British movie called All My Friends Hate Me.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't.
It's a comedy. I'll say that. It's a comedy, but it's a British comedy. So we'll talk about that as well.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I'll see you next week, but we'll go to infinity and beyond.
Yeah, and we won't howl at the moon.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.